Explained by the Mishnah at the bottom of Tzadik Aleph Amud Beis. I'm continuing on the topic of people eating the Korban Pesach when before they were posel or tome or as the case may be. So the Mishnah says, "Oinen tovel v'oichalas pischel erev." Now we learned previously about an oinen that as long as he's an oinen. Even though he's an onen, because by night he won't be an onen doraisa anymore, therefore we're able to shecht the Korban Pesach on his behalf. So we said we shouldn't have a group of him by himself, or only onen him by themselves, because they may end up becoming posel. He may end up becoming tomei for the mess later on in the day, and then it comes out Pesach's going to be posel. But at the time of the shechita and the zrika, he was kosher to have it brought. Therefore, we're good. So now we're saying not only he can have it shechted on his behalf, but he can also tovel and eat his Korban Pesach that evening, even if the mess wasn't buried yet. Again, because min haTorah, his aninus is only by day. So even though derabbanan, he's still an onan at night. And usually that would prevent him from eating kodshim. But when it comes to the Korban Pesach, the Chachamim didn't impose that gzera. Now, why does he need tevilah though? Rashi says, because with there are 11 things that the Chachamim made that where the Chachamim made gzeiros that kodesh is more stringent than truma, and one of them is that one of them was that an onan needs to tovel before he eats kodshim. The reason behind it is because he was also to eat kodshim, because as soon as the mess passed away, we said he's not allowed to eat kodshim until after the burial and until he's not an onan anymore. So the Chachamim were concerned that he might therefore become tomei without paying attention. So therefore he has to tovel because of that. But once he does that, then even though the mess hasn't in fact been buried yet, that night he's only an onan derabbanan, therefore he's allowed to eat the Korban Pesach. But the Mishnah continues, Avaloiba kodshim, but he's not allowed to eat other kodshim because with them the gzeira derabbanan still applies. You actually have a machlokas in the Gemara in Zvachim. Do we mean that night itself of Pesach, he's only allowed to eat the Korban Pesach, but not any other kodshim? Meaning, for example, they brought the Chagiga Sabah also that we talked about before. Is he not allowed to eat from that because the Chachamim will only matter him the Korban Pesach because otherwise there's Kores involved, but not other kodshim? Or do we say once that night he's allowed to eat the Korban Pesach, then we're waiving the rule as far as other kodshim as well, and only we mean that if this happened any other time during the year, then he'd be also to eat kodshim? Okay, machlokes over there in the Gemara. Also, continues the Mishnah, Shemeya al Mesoi. If somebody hears that his relative passed away, now you actually have two different kinds of Yom Shmur. You have one kind where he hears about it within 30 days, and then he has to sit full Shiva. And then there's another case where he hears about it only after the 30 days are over, since the person passed away, and then he only has to keep a short time. He only has to keep Avelus for a short time. Either way, Drabbanan, he's considered an Oinen. So the same thing then. Rabbanon is an onan, but we waive it in order for him to eat the Korban Pesach. Also, v'hamalakit loyat samos. Also, a person who gathered up the bones of his relatives, of his father and mother. Rashi says the way they used to do it in those days was, when a person passed away, they would bury them temporarily until they bury them someplace temporarily until the flesh decayed and all that's left is bones. Then they would gather up the bones and they'd put them in a box and bury them in the place where they expect them to be permanently. They found such burial boxes, ossuaries is the official name for them. They found them in different archaeological digs in different places in Eretz Yisrael. That was the minhag in those times. Now, the Gemara tells us that the Gemara tells us in Moed Katan that such a person is an ovel on the day that the liquor tatsomos is done, but not after that. So Drabbanon, he's an ovel, he's an oinen, but nevertheless, that's only Drabbanon. We're not going to impose that as far as the Korban Pesach. Therefore, tovel v'oichel b'kodshim. Therefore, again, he can tovel for the same reason, like we said before. And then he can eat the kodshim. Then he can eat even other kodshim, because even the fact that even during that day he's only an onan derabbanan, by night we're not even going to impose that. So therefore, by night he's not going to be an onan at all, and therefore he can eat even other kodshim. The Gemara is going to ask, by the way, if he gathered up the bones, he's tamei. So never mind him eating the Korban Pesach or the kodshim. We'll see about that in the Gemara. There is, by the way, a very well-known thing in the little vignette from the Rebbe's life that has to do with this. We know that for some time before the Rebbe got married, and then for a few years after that, he lived in Berlin. He was going to the university over there. At one point, there was a large Beis Medrash over there called Beis Medrash L'Rabbanim. It's also called the Hildesheimer Seminary. At that time, the Sridei Eish, Rabbi Chiyo Yaakov Weinberg, was the Rosh Hashiva. So the Rebbe wanted to be able to use its library, I think, or some large library in Berlin to be able to look up things in Sfarim. But he needed. I think that's what it was. The library belonged to the Beis Medrash L'Rabbanim. The Rebbe wanted to use that library, but to do that, he had to have smicha from the institute, from this Beis Medrash. So he went to Rav Weinberg to ask for smicha, and Rav Weinberg tells him, "B'mchilas kvoda, I mean, okay, you're the son-in-law of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, etc., but I can't give you smicha unless you learn in my yeshiva." So b'kitzur, the Rebbe told him, "Give me any sefer of yours, and I'll learn it. You can test me thoroughly on it, and based on that, you'll give me smicha." So he gave him. He had written a kuntres a year or two earlier called Kuntres Pinui Atzamos or Liquid Atzamos or something like that, which deals with these kinds of dinim about when you're moving a body from one place to another. A very obscure area of halacha, and there was a very deep discussion of it that the Sridei Eish wrote. So the Rebbe took it, looked it over overnight, and in the morning he came back, not only knowing it, but with a bunch of ha'oros and things, which afterwards were, after the Rebbe wrote them in Rishimus, and many years later, they were published, various notes about what the Sridei Eish had written in the Skundris, and the Sridei Eish granted him the smicha. Okay, onward. The Mishnah says, Gershin is Geir be'erev Pesach. Suppose that a ger becomes a ger on Erev Pesach. We know the famous thing, the expression, why it says Gershin is Geir and not Gershin is Geir, because all along he was a Yid. It was a Yiddish neshama trapped in a goy's body. So now when he becomes a ger, it's not that it's a goy becoming a ger. In fact, there's a vort from the Baal Shem Tov on it that says a goy never became a yid, and a yid never shmadzich. Because when you have a ger, when we have a person who became a ger, it means all along he had a Jewish neshama, and vice versa, chas v'shalom. So therefore, he's a ger sheniskayer. Anyway, if this took place on Erev Pesach, so Beshama Imim Toivol v'Oichelos Pischel Erev. Beshama says he just has a Toivol, and then he can eat his Korban Pesach that evening. Now, why does he have to tovel? That there's a bit of discussion about. The Tosfos Yom Tov says nothing to do with Tumah V'Tahara, just that in general, well, it has to do with Tumah V'Tahara, but in general, a person is supposed to tovel before Yom Tov. Chayev Adam L'Tahar Atzmei Beregel. But a number of Achronim talk about various reasons why he should have to tovel. One explanation is that we're talking about the tevila of the ger. We're talking about the actual tevila that he does. That's the second step in him becoming a ger. A ger has to have mila, tevila, and he also has to bring a korban. So here, according to that, we're talking about he tovels as the tevila of his gerus. But you have others that explain that it means that he tovels specially for the kedusha of the Korban Pesach, especially for Yom Tov. Anyway, that's Bishamai says that. Basilo, my Purdish Mina Orla, Kapurdish Mina Kever. Basilo says no. If he separated himself from Orla, then it's like he separated from a grave, meaning that he actually needs to be sprinkled with Parah Adumah water on the third and the seventh day. And the reason for that we'll see in the Gemara. This is one of those rare cases where Basilo is more Mahmur than Bishamai. Okay, so the Gemara says, my timer. Why in the first part of the Mishnah are we saying that the Oinin is allowed to eat the Korban Pesach if he's still by that night? So the reason is Kasavra Aninus Laila D'Rabbanon. Because like we said before, the Tana of our Mishnah holds that the fact that he's an Oinin that night after the Misa is only D'Rabbanon. V'gabe Pesach, so when it comes to eating the Korban Pesach, Loiha Emidu Divrein B'Makom Kodesh, the Chum did not want to impose the Gzeira of him being an Oinin where it has to do with Kodesh. Because after all, if he doesn't bring the Korban Pesach, then he's Chayav Kodes. If they told him he can't, then he'd be an onus and he wouldn't be Chayav Kodes. But we mean, in other words, where that impinges on a mitzvah which could make him Chayav Kodes. So therefore, they didn't want to do that. Gabi Kodshim, Hemin Didivrim, Mokam Aseh, as opposed to other Kodshim, it's only a mitzvah saseh to eat other Kodshim. So therefore, the Chachamim kept their Gzera that he's an Oinin and he's also to eat, even when it comes to other Kodshim. And again, like we said, there's Machlokas in the Gemara in Zvachim, once we matter him for that night, or we matter him all Kodshim or just the Korban Pesach. Okay. We said Hashemei al Mesa. We said if he hears that a relative of his passed away, so then he needs to sit Shiva for a short time or for full 7 days, as the case may be. But and we mention also Amalakat Tatsamais, where he gathers up the bones of his father or mother to rebury them. So the question is, Malakat Tatsamas, Aboy Hazar Shlishi Yoshvi. What do you mean? He needs to, in that case, if he gathered them himself, he became Tomei from touching the bones. So he needs to be sprinkled with Paradoma water on the third and seventh day. He's not able to bring the Korban Pesach that day. The answer is Emashal Lichtula Yatsamas. You're right. The mission doesn't mean that he himself gathered up the bones. It means somebody else gathered them up for him. But nevertheless, seeing as how it was his parents, then he has to sit Avelus for that day. So we're saying, though, that night he himself is not Tomei. He himself didn't participate in the gathering up of the bones. So therefore, he himself can eat the Korban Pesach that evening. Then we said in the Mishnah, Ger Shinis Gaya Vachula. We said a Ger that became a Ger on Erev Pesach. So Bishamai, we said that he could just Tovel and eat Kodshim that evening. And Basil says, no, he needs to be sprinkled with Paradrum water. So Omer Rav Baba Chana Omer Rav Yechanan, Machlokas Ba'orol Nochri. The Machlokas is by a Goy who had a Bris Milah, and now he became a Ger. Now, as long as he was a goy, he's not able to be makabel truma. Dirabbanan, we say that goyim are mutame like zovin, but daraisa, a goy is not makabel truma. So why would Bis Hillel say that if he was obviously not tame until now? So why would Bis Hillel say that he has to be sprinkled with pot adroma water? So Basilo says you have to make a gzera and say, what if he becomes Tomei at the same time the following year? The Yomer, and he's going to think to himself, remember, like we said yesterday, Gerim are not always experts in all the ins and outs of Torah. So he's going to think, Eshtakad Milo Tavalti Valchaldi. Last year, he's going to think, I was Tomei until Erev Pesach, and then I became a Ger, and I went to the Mikra, and I was able to eat the Korban Pesach. Achshav Nami Etbel V'Ochal. Now also, all I have to do is Tovel, and I'll be able to eat the Korban Pesach. V'lo Yoda, now he's not going to realize that the big difference is the Eshtakad Nochri Hava, that last year at this time he was still a Goy, V'loi Mekabel Tumah, therefore even though he may have been around Mesim beforehand, but he wasn't Mekabel Tumah. Achshav Yisrael, the Makabel Tumah. Now he's a Jew, so therefore he is able to be Makabel Tumah. So therefore, Bais Hillel wants him to wait 7 days, and that way, no matter what, by the end of 7 days and being sprinkled with Paradrum water, any possible Tumah that he had is definitely gone. If he became Tomei from a Sheretz, he doesn't need full 7 days. If he became Tomei Mess, then the 7 days plus Paradrum water help. Now Rashi says, what about, on the face of it, there is one kind of Tumah that we're not dealing with in that case. We're not dealing with, what if he became a Zov? What about, we would say that last year, he might say, I was a Zov, and yet I was able to bring the Korban Pesach without having to bring a Korban. Now I would also, now I should also be able to. Rashi says, okay, we can't be Gozer that, because look, if we do that, he's never going to be able to bring a Korban Pesach. Because after all, you can't have that he can just bring a Korban for a Zov out of the blue. We can only bring it if in fact he was a Zov. At most, we say a person can bring a Korban, a person can bring a Chata Sa'if al HaSafik. So if a person has a Safik, whether it was a Zov, then he can bring a Chata. But he can't bring a chatas voluntarily. So we can't tell him to bring the korban of a zov, because and if we say that we're going to make that zera, he'd never be able to bring the korban Pesach. Well, at least unless he ever actually becomes a zov and then brings the korbanos. We don't want to do that. So therefore, Bais Hillel is going to say, fine, we're not going to go to that extent, but at least we're going to say that he has to be sprinkled with paradroma water in order to avoid that kind of misunderstanding where he may not realize that he needs more than just tevila in the future to be able to eat the korban Pesach. In fact, Tzlach talks about that maybe Bais Shammai would agree with the basic premise, and that's in fact why they would say in the Mishnah he has to tovel at least, so that he should realize in the future that he has to tovel before he has the Korban Pesach brought on his behalf and eats it. But Bais Shammai didn't feel it was necessary to make the Gzera about him being sprinkled for that purpose. But they figured that at least he should tovel. And that's the Tzlach explains. That's why in the Mishnah Bais Shammai says that he should tovel. So that's as far as an oral nochri. that again, Beis Shammai doesn't need to make a gzeira about him. Beis Hillel holds you make a gzeira because he makes a gzeira because otherwise the next year he might not realize the distinction. An interesting tidbit I saw on this, by the way, is, I mean, come on, the guy's not going to know a difference between whether he's a yid or a goy, that last year he was a goy and this year he's a yid, that we should have to make such a gzeira. I saw an interesting tidbit about it, brought in a sefer about his name was Rabbi Eliezer Lippmann Prince. He was a balabos, a rich balabos from Holland 100 odd years ago. He was also a yedeya sefer. He wrote a couple of svarim. Anyway, he says a vort. We know you're not allowed to tell a ger, remember when you were a guy. So the vort is, therefore, nobody's going to be able to remind him. And therefore, there's a possibility that he himself may overlook this detail. He may not be knowledgeable enough to know this detail. There are other people who are knowledgeable, but they're not going to tell him. But yeah, last year you were a guy because you're not allowed to. Anyway. So continues the Gemara. Aval Oro Yisrael. But if we're talking about a Jewish Oro, in other words, you have, for example, a yid who was mesu ech of machmas milah, that his brother has died previously because of milah. So now we know he can't have a milah until he's older and stronger. So now let's say he had a bris milah on Erev Pesach. Well, now, being that he was a Yisrael, all this time he was able to be mekabel tumah. So therefore, there's no reason to make a gzeira. Divrei hakol, tovel v'oichol es pischa le'erev. Then everybody will agree that he can tovel and eat his korban Pesach that evening. V'lo gazrin and ol Yisrael, mishum oral nachri. There's no reason to make a gzeira. Even Beis Hillel is going to agree. There's no reason to make a gzeira because if you allow that with a Jewish oral, you might come to apply it to a goyish oral as well. That we're not going to do. So therefore, the result is that only if he's becoming a ger are we saying a purish mina orlik, a purish mina kever, but not if he's a yid who's first having a bris milah now. One vort is though we're still saying in the Gemara that he needs to tovel, and Tosfos wonders why on earth should he have to tovel? I mean, even Dirabanan, there doesn't seem to be a need for him to tovel. So here you have a couple of explanations. One of them is we just mean, like we said before, the regular tevila that a person has to do before Yom Tov. That's the Tosfos Yom Tov learns that way. Another interesting idea is maybe we're talking about not a person that mesu echad machas mila. You can also have a case. You can also have a person who was mumur la'arelus. He refused to have a bris mila all this time, and finally Erev Pesach he gave in and had the bris mila. So what we're going to say, so therefore, there is a concept in halacha that certain that some rishonim bring, that if a person had shmadzich, rachman al-Otzlan, and then he does tshuva, he should tovel, even though he doesn't need to, because he was a yid all along, Yisrael af bishachot Yisraelu, but nevertheless, there's the idea that he should tovel in order to get rid of the stink of having been a mishumad for a while. So then maybe we could be talking about the same case over here, and that would be a reason to say that he has to tovel. Tanya Nami Hochi, we learn in fact in a braisa like that's how the machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel goes. Omer Reb Shimon ben Elazar, loy nechlaku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel al olri Yisrael shatoyvo v'orchol as pischa la'erev. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel do not disagree about a Jew who was an oral that he can tovel and eat his korban Pesach that evening. There's no reason to make a gzeira because he might think next year I wasn't able to become next year I only needed to tovel, and this year I should only need to tovel. Last year I was able to tovel, and this year I should be able to tovel, because being that he was a Yisrael all this time, he was able to be mekabel tumah. So he knows that previously it's not just that he had to tovel. He knows that also had he been a tamei mes, he would have had to be sprinkled with that for that purpose as well. So therefore, there's nothing to be goyzer on. Al manech l'ku al oral nachri. They're only arguing about a goyish oral who now became a yid. So Beis Shammai omrim tovel v'oichol es pischa la'erev. Beis Shammai says all he has to do is tovel, and then he can eat his korban Pesach in the evening. Or Beis Hillel omrim a purish min ha'orla, a purish min ha'kever. Beis Hillel says that a person who goes away from the orla, this ger who now was removed from his orla, to purish min ha'kever, it's like he's removing himself from a kever, and therefore he needs to be sprinkled with paradrum water. As we said, as a gzeira, because next year he may be tomei mes on the days before Pesach and not realize and think, last year I only needed to tovel, so this year I only need to tovel, and not realize that last year at this time he was a goy and is not a makabel tumah, and this year he's a yid and he is. Okay. This is the Rabbanan we're talking about, right? So now we get into a discussion about that. We're going to see now in the next discussion that now we said in the Mishnah that usually the Chachamim are not imposing their gzeiros where it would be an Issur Kares. That's why we said, for example, the Oinin, for example, we said is allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach, even though Dirabbanan, he's still an Oinin that night, because D'oraisa, he's not, and we don't want to prevent him from eating the Korban Pesach because of a Gzeira D'Rabbanan, where it's B'makom Kares. But we're going to see in this piece of Gemara now that there are cases where we do hold on a Din D'Rabbanan, even B'makom Kares. One of them being this case of the Ger. Now, the question is, so we'll go through that. We'll go through the sugya. It's a short sugya, and we'll see why. But we'll see different cases. We'll see what are the cases where we do impose the Gzeira and cases where we don't. But the question is, the underlying question is why. So the Ravid and a number of other Rishonim say that the difference is this Gzeira that we're talking about something where without that Gzeira, he might end up doing an Issur D'Oraisa. For example, we just said over here, in this case of the Ger, we said the reason why Basil is making the Gzeira is because next year he might be Tomei and think that he can eat the Korban Pesach with only Tevila. So therefore, if he does that, of course, he's making a big mistake and he's going to be Chayav Kores for that, for eating Kodshim when he's Tomei. Therefore, the Chachamim kept that Gzeira, even though that means this year he's not bringing a Pesach Rishon. And similarly with the other examples that we're going to have. On the other hand, let's say, for example, with the Onan, the Chachamim said that he's an Onan that night, but there's no, unless he actually becomes Tomei Mes, then there's no possible Issur D'Oraisa that he could end up being over if he does eat Kodshim, even if he eats other Kodshim. So therefore, the Chachamim didn't have a reason to keep the Gzeira in that case. That's the Shitta of the Raivan. No, that one I'm worried about because, again, even if he eats Kodshim, all he's doing is he's over on a Gzeira D'Rabbana. So, therefore, the Chachamim weren't worried. That's how the Ravid and some other Rishonim learn that that's the distinction. The Rambam, on the other hand, says not. In the case of the Rambam says each of them has its own reason. In the case of the Ger, the Vort is he doesn't become a Ger anyway until he needs Mila and Tvila. So therefore, the Rambam says, so who says he has to dafka tovel on Erev Pesach or a couple of days before Pesach and become a Yid at that point? He could always wait with his tevila until after Pesach or until after the first day, or during Chol HaMoed, for example. And then that way it comes out on Erev Pesach, he's bechlal not chayev to bring a Korban Pesach. He wants to, okay, but the Rambam says, in other words, therefore, the Chachamim said, we're going to keep our Gzeira D'Rabbanan even in that case, because the fact of the matter is he has a choice in the matter whether to actually become chayev, whether to actually tovel and become chayev or not. The Beis Din would know, I guess. Yeah. So that's in the case of the ger. We also have another case where we said, which the Gemara is going to bring now, where we say that the Chachamim keep the Gzeira even where it involves something of Kores, is Hazar. We learned back at the beginning of the sixth parak, that if a person is Tomei Mes and the last day of his sprinkling comes out on Shabbos, we said you don't sprinkle him with Parah Adumah water on Shabbos, Gzeira D'Rabbanan, because you might carry the water or because you're misakin him, because like you're fixing him up and making him suitable, whatever. So we said there's a Gzeira D'Rabbanan. So the Rambam says there also. Now there the reason is because we talked about a day or two ago, the Rambam's Shitta is that even if the Tomei Mes's seventh day comes out on Erev Pesach, he can't eat the Korban Pesach that night anyway. We said that we had the case of the Anachnu Tmeim, the Nefesh Adam, the people who complained to Moshe that they're Tomei, where we said it was the seventh day, the Rambam learns, the Gemara over there, to be saying that even if they toveled and everything, nevertheless, and they were sprinkled with Parah Adumah water, nevertheless, they can't eat the Korban Pesach that night, even though on the face of it, they should be completely Tohu, because they had Tevilah and Head of Shemesh and Hazar and all the good things. So therefore, the Rambam goes on to say, so what happens even if, let's say their seventh day comes out on the 13th of Nisan, but suppose the 13th of Nisan is Shabbos. Even then, so we're going to say in the Gemara here that Hazal is not doing the Shabbos. The Rambam says, even then, now what does it mean? If they're not sprinkled that day, means they're going to have to be sprinkled on Sunday, Erev Pesach, but that's not going to make it possible for them to eat the Korban Pesach, according to his Shitta, because according to him, if the day you're sprinkled, you can't eat that night. So that, what does that mean? It means that Shabbos, they're preventing him from being sprinkled, even though that prevents him from bringing the Korban Pesach the night after next. Why is that? Because the Shabbos, when we're sprinkling him, is not the time when the Korban Pesach is being brought. The Korban Pesach is only going to be brought the next day. Therefore, the Chachamim still kept their Gzeira for today, even though that has effects on tomorrow. That's how the Rambam learns. According to the Rambam, if you didn't get sprinkled, you have to on the third day. And then according to the Rambam, at least, if you didn't get sprinkled on the seventh day, then fine, you get sprinkled on the eighth day or the ninth day or whatever. There doesn't have to be, and that can't be before, but there doesn't have to be exactly 4 days between. There can be five or six or whatever. Not everybody agrees with that, but anyway. Okay. Fine. So Omar Rava. Oral Hazav Ismail Hamidu Divrei Mamakam Kodesh. When it comes to the case of the oral that we just discussed, also the case of Hazav, of sprinkling somebody with Par Adam water, and the case of an Ismail, of bringing a knife for Mila, in all of those, Hamidu Divrei Mamakam Kodesh, in all of those, the Chachamim imposed the Gzeira and kept it, even though that impinges on an Isu Kodesh. Now again, it doesn't mean the person is actually chayav kares in that case, but it means that even though the mitzvah bringing a korban pesach is one of the two esses that involves, if the person doesn't do it, he's chayav kares. Nevertheless, the chacham still kept, and that means that it's a very serious esse. Nevertheless, the chacham still kept the gzeira. I don't know what the word Ismail. I don't know what the shayrish of the word Ismail is, but it means a knife for mila. Okay. On the other hand, oinin or mitzoda or beis apras, on the other hand, when it comes to the oinin and when it comes to a mitzoda, which we're going to discuss soon, and a beis apras, then loyhem midu divrei b'makom kares. Then the chacham did not uphold the gzeira when that affects an issue, namely the esser of bringing the korban pesach and eating the korban pesach, which involves kares. So the chacham will waive their gzeira in those cases. A beis apras is a place. We're going to discuss soon, is a field where there was a caver that then the field was plowed up. Midaraisa, we don't worry about it because we say either the plow doesn't go that deep to be able to disturb the grave, or we say just the opposite. If it does disturb the grave, it's going to break up the bones into such tiny fragments that they're not makabel tova, that they're not matame. But midarabanan, we say there might be fragments of bone, at least the size of a grain of barley, which is the minimum for them to be metame, as much as 100 amas in every direction away from the grave. And therefore, that area is called a beis apras. So that's what we're going to talk about that soon, about the blowing. Yeah, we're going to get to that soon. Okay, so Rava is saying altogether you have six cases over here. Three of them were saying that the Chacham did keep the Gzeira, even though there's an Issur Kares involved, and three of them not. Oral Hodam Moran, the oral is what we just said, that Beis Hillel is saying he can't bring his Korban Pesach, even though not bringing a Korban Pesach is an Issur Kares. So again, we don't mean that he's going to be Chayav Kares, the Chacham telling him not to bring, then he can't bring. But we mean, in other words, even though we see the strictness of the mitzvah, of the Esser of Pesach, that there's Kares involved, nevertheless, the Chacham are still saying, we're keeping our Gzera. Again, according to the Rambam's Shita, the reason is because he has the choice to not yet become a Ger, but rather to wait until after Erev Pesach. And right now, therefore, he's not chayav anyway. According to the Ravid, it's because it could lead him to do an Issur D'oraisa, namely what we just said, that he may think this year versus last year. By the way, there is the interesting point also. A ger, in order to be able to eat kodshim, has to also bring a korban. So on the face of it, even once he tovels, he can't eat from the korban pesach yet unless he brings his korban anyway. There is an interesting point. The Meshech Chochma wants to say that maybe the very fact that he brings a korban pesach, maybe that works instead of his regular korban of a ger. Usually, the regular korban of a ger would be an oila or two birds or one or two oilas. But over here, maybe the fact that he's bringing a korban pesach counts for that instead. Even though it's not a shlom at all, it's a special kind of korban, but still, yeah. Right, so the Meshech Chochma wants to argue that maybe, nevertheless, that would still count, yeah. Okay, so that's Oral Hodam Moran. Hazah, what do we mean by Hazah, that the Chachamim kept the Gzeira even where it impinges on something that's Chayav Kares? The Amar Mar, because we learned earlier in our Masechta, Hazah Shavus. Hazah, to sprinkle something with part of our drummer water, is only also drabonon on Shabbos, and ve'ena doiches a Shabbos, but it's not doiches a Shabbos. If Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, we don't do it. And even according to the Rambam, even if Shabbos is Yud Gimel Nissen, we don't sprinkle him that day, even though it means in the event that on Yud Dalet, when we do sprinkle him, that's not going to be good enough for him to eat the Korban Pesach that evening. Nevertheless, we're still going to impose it, and he's going to be pushed off the Pesach Shein. Again, by the way, the Ravid disagrees with that point and says that no, if he's sprinkled on Erev Pesach, there's no problem. So the Ravid would have to understand the case is talking about when Erev Pesach is on Shabbos and you can't sprinkle him that day. No, that's according to the Rambam. You have to wait a whole nother day. According to the Ravid, you don't. So according to the Ravid, the case Yeah, so according to the Raiva, the case would be that his seventh day comes out on Erev Pesach, which happens to be Shabbos. You can't sprinkle him, and that prevents him from eating the Korban, from bringing and eating the Korban Pesach. Nevertheless, we're still holding the Gzera. And according to the Rambam, we're talking about if the seventh day was Erev Pesach, the Rambam would say, never mind Shabbos or weekday. Either way, sprinkling him is not going to help him be able to eat the Korban Pesach that night. We have to be talking about where Shabbos was the 13th of Nisan. So that's as far as Hazar. And Ismail, what do we mean as far as a Mila knife? The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, we learned this in Masechta Shabbos. Kashem she'in mevi'a noise derech Rosh Rabim. Just like you can't bring the knife, even though a Mila bismana is derech Shabbos, but you can't bring the knife through the Rosh Rabim because we said Rabbi Eliezer would allow it because Rabbi Eliezer holds machshir mitzvah derech Shabbos, but the halacha is not like him. The halacha is like Rabbi Akiva that they're not derech Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer holds you don't even need the roof. Rabbi Eliezer holds you could bring it through the street because he holds that even machshirim of a mitzvah which could have been done before are still doich haShabbos. We learned so Rabbi Akiva holds, and this is the halacha that it's not doich haShabbos, but we said over there you can bring it by way of roofs and chatzeros or whatever because there's no issur derabbanan according to Rabbi Shimon to bring it that way as far as giving it to a goy also that there you have it's a shvus to shvus because then you're telling a goy is a shvus and here itself it's a shvus, so therefore yeah. So therefore, you can't have him bring it through the Rosh Rabim because that would be a malacha d'oraisa. But you could have it through, he would bring it, for example, from a different chotzer which doesn't have an eruv with the current one. Yeah. So okay. So kashem shein mevi'ano sederach Rosh Rabim. The Braisa says just like you can't bring it through the Rosh Rabim, kach ein mevi'ano sederach gagas v'derach chatzeros v'derach karpefes. You also can't bring it by way of roofs and chatzeros and karpefes. Now that part is not the halacha because that part we say you are in fact allowed to bring it by way of those because Reb Shimon says that as long as it was on the roof or in the chotzer or whatever at the beginning of Shabbos, then all of them are considered one reshus. In that, the halacha is like Reb Shimon. But you wouldn't be allowed to if it was inside the house to bring it up to the roof or bring it out to the chotzer or whatever, then not. So again, even though all of that is only dirabbanon, nevertheless, now Rashi says we're not talking about a regular Shabbos bris because there's no reason to say that it involves kares at all because who would be getting kares? The kid is 8 days old; he's not chayav kares. The parent is not chayav kares for not making a bris for his son. Rashi says what we're talking about is as far as the Korban Pesach. Now there is a halacha. The Torah tells us that if a person, we're going to talk about it a little bit in the next perek. That if a person has a member of his household, one of his children, or one of his avodim knanim, who has not had a bris milah, then he's not able to bring the Korban Pesach. The balabos can't bring the Korban Pesach, right? So therefore, you can have a case where he has, so his baby needs to have his bris on Shabbos, Erev Pesach, and they don't have the knife. So we're saying, even though not bringing the knife is going to mean the bris is going to be pushed off, and meaning therefore the balabos, the father, is not going to be able to make a Korban Pesach, nevertheless, we still say that's how it is. And therefore, it's not doicha. So that's it. You can't make the bris meal. Yeah, so therefore, we're doicha him from bringing Pesach, and he has to bring Pesach Sheni instead, yeah. So those are three examples where we see where the Chachamim kept the Gzeira, even though there is an Issur Kores involved. In this case, again, the Issur Kores being that he's not bringing a Korban Pesach. Yeah. And what about the other three? Oinin Hodam Mora. Now, on the other hand, Rava had said there were three cases where we see that the Chachamim did not impose the Gzeiras when it would impinge on him making the Korban Pesach. The first one is Oinin Hodam Mora. We said in the Mishnah that even though Dirabbanon, he's still an Oinin that night, nevertheless, he's allowed to eat the Korban Pesach. Metzora Mai. What is the case of the Metzora that we're allowing? So like this, Titania. Now, we know like this, a Metzora, the part of the last stage of his process of kapara is that he brings certain korbanos, and in particular he brings a korban asham, and some of the blood of that korban and also some of the oil that he brings with the korbanos is put on his ear, on his right ear, his right thumb, and his right toe, his right big toe. So he's standing over there in Shaun Nicanor, as we learned before, the inside of Shaun Nicanor was not Niskadish, so he's able to stand inside the gate. He sticks his head in a little bit, and they put it on his ear, because that has to be done in the Azara. Remember, as a Mechusik, he put him, he's not yet allowed to go into the Azara. But he sticks in his head a little bit, and they put it on his ear. He sticks in his thumb, and they put it on his thumb, and same thing with his big toe. Rashi mentions, by the way, a machloikas in the Gemara Zvachim. Is it that we say, we have a machloikas over there, bia b'miktas, if a person comes part way into the Azara, or into a place where he's not allowed to, if a person comes part way into the Azara, and he's tomei, is he chayiv kares? Yes, there's different opinions over there in the Gemara. There's one opinion that says that yes, he's chayav koris, and the other that says that not. The one that says that not says, you see from the mitzvah over here, he's allowed to stick in his head, or he's allowed to stick in his thumb, etc. And that's bia b'mitzvah, and yet we're allowing it. His body is outside, but that's the point. It's bia b'mitzvah. So therefore, that opinion would say it's mutter. The other one would say, usually it would be also, usually he would be chayav koris. In this case, the Torah makes an exception. Anyway, so now let's say we have another wrinkle. this mitzvah, before he brought his korbanos, also became a baal keri. Now, as a baal keri, he's also, we learned previously, we had the sugya about which machnos the various tmeim have to stay out of, and we said a baal keri has to stay out of not only machna shechina, not only the azora, but also machna levia, the whole harabais. Now, what happens, though? He goes and tovels for that keri. Now he's a tevul yom. Well, a tevul yom, midrabanan, as we're going to say now, is a daraisa tevul yom can't come into the azara. But fine, that makes him no worse than he was before. As a mechusa kippurim, he also can't come into the azara. But as a tevul yom, midrabanan, he can't go into the ezras nashim either. But we're saying that we're going to waive that for this purpose. So let's look at the Gemara. Mitzorish means he went to the mikveh. He's waiting for head of Shemesh. So mitzvah shachal shmini shloi be'erev Pesach. If a mitzvah's eighth day comes out on Erev Pesach, namely, in other words, again, part of the process is he has first the thing with the two birds that it describes at Parshas Mitzvah, at the beginning of Parshas Mitzvah. Then after that, he shaves, he waits 7 days. Then at the end of the 7 days, he shaves again. And then on the eighth day, he brings his korbanos. So now, if that eighth day comes out on Erev Pesach, v'ro keri boi b'yom, on that day, he also became a baal keri. Tovel va'oichel, so he can still tovel for his keri. So now, even though as a tovel yom of baal keri, he's not allowed to come into the ezras nashim, but we're going to allow because amar chacham alpha pisha tovel yom ze ena nichnas. Even though normally a tovel yom is not allowed to enter, zen nichnas, this one is going to be allowed to enter. Which means, by the way, it means that and remember. According to the opinion that Bia B'Miktas, Shmei Miktas, it means as a Tvul Yoim, he would be also to enter the Azara. So therefore, what we're saying about him not entering the Ezra Snoshim or the Harabayas, we're going to say in a second, is only Dirabanan. But this that he can't go into the Azara proper is Daraisa. Now, usually we say, so that Manda Omo would say, fine, we make an exception for the Mitzora. In this case, we're making a double exception because not only he was a Mitzora and he's a Mechosa Kippurim for that, he's also a Tvul Yoim for his Keri. Which is a higher level of tumah, because after all, Mechusa Kippurim is not really tumah anymore. He just can't eat kodshim. Tevul Yom is actually still to a certain degree tumah, and we're still allowing him to stick his hand, his ear, and his thumb, etc., inside. Because the Chacham said, Alpha Pisha Tevul Yom Einin Nichnas, even though a Tevul Yom normally is not allowed to enter the Azara, Zen Nichnas, this one is allowed to go in, because Mutav Yavei Esesh, Yesh Bekoris, Yidcha Esesh, Ein Bekoris, better than an Esse which involves Koris, namely not bringing the Korban Pesach, should override an Esse where there's no Koris involved, namely the Esse of staying out, the Esse of staying out of the Azara, or the Esse of going into the Harabais. So again, as far as the Hanabayas, we're saying there's an essay involved in him going to the Hanabayas, but we're waiving that in order for him to be able to bring his korbanos. As far as the Azara, that's Machlokas and Zvachim. If we say that only putting in part of his body is not also anyway, then there's nothing else that we're waiving for his purpose. If we say that usually Bia B'Miktas, Shmei Miktas, we're saying we make an exception for the Mitzora, that exception also extends now, to, even though he's a Mitzora and also a Tvulyon. So for Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Dvar Torah Afilu Esse Envoy. So Rabbi Yochanan says that when we say that not going into the Harabayas is an Esse Shiyesh Beikores, actually it's not even an Esse Afilu Esse Envoy. It's not even really a Mitzvah Saseh. It's only an Isu Drabbana. Which Tosfos explains, Rabbi Yochanan is not arguing with the Braisa. Rabbi Yochanan is not a Tana that he can argue with the Braisa. He's clarifying that the Braisa is using the word Esse Shiyesh Beikores imprecisely, and it means that it's really only an Isu Drabbana. Now, where do we know that it's an Isser Drabbanon? Shenemar. You have a pasuk in Divrei Yomim. The pasuk describes over there how Bnei Ammon, with a whole coalition of nations, had invaded Eretz Yisrael, and the Jewish people, not the Jewish people collectively, but they had invaded Malchus Yehuda, the kingdom of Yehuda and Binyamin. So the people of Yehuda and Binyamin and the Kohenim and Levim, etc., all gathered in the Beis Hamikdash to daven, that the Eibishter should help them against this invasion. Capital Pei Gimel of Tilim, by the way, refers to this invasion. You look at the caption above it, you'll see that it's talking about this war in the time of Yehoshaphat, where you have a whole coalition of nations, all the Edom, Yishmaelim, Moav, Vahagrim, Gvor, Va'amon, Va'amolek, etc., etc. It lists for a couple of psukim in a row about all the different nations that invaded Eretz Yisrael. So the king Yehoshaphat was a tzaddik, yeah. So in the event, what happened was they davened. By the way, we say every day, and we say on most days in davening, we say a half a pasuk from their tefillah, where Va'anachnu Leineda Manasa Ki Alachayinenu comes from their tefillah. Anyway, the upshot is that a Navi told them that what's going to happen is the Eibishter is going to defeat them for you. You just have to stand there and watch. And that's exactly what happened. That they started as a whole coalition of nations. So the Eibishter caused them to start mistrusting each other. Hey, you're only doing this because you want to make your, because you want to get more, you want to grab more territory from your nation. And, you know, and then, and but yeah, you only want it for yours. And they ended up fighting with each other and they ended up killing each other off. Right in front of the eyes of the Jews, yeah. Okay, anyway. So, the Pasuk says, Vayamad Yehoshaphat b'kal Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. Yehoshaphat stood in the gathering of Yehuda and Yerushalayim, Beveis Hashem, in the house of Hashem, in the Beis Mikdash, Lifnei HaChotzer HaChadosha, in front of the new Chotzer. Now, the new Chotzer over here means the Har HaBayis. So why are we calling it new? It already existed for 100 years by that point. My Chotzer HaChadosha means Shechidshu Boidover. They made a Chidush, they made a new Gzera. In fact, the Meiri says, at that point, right then, when all of the Chachamim and all the Jews were gathered, they made a new Gzeira of Amr, Tvul Yoyim, Leikonis Machna Leviyah. They said that a Tvul Yoyim is not allowed to enter Machna Leviyah, is not allowed to enter into, now, not strictly speaking, doesn't mean the whole Har HaBayis, it means the Ezras Noshim. Tosfos points out, the Ezras Noshim is called a Chotzer as well. So therefore, so they made a new Gzeira that said that from now on, a Tvul Yoyim is not allowed to enter the Ezras Noshim. Any connection to what happened? So, the Gemara doesn't say. I think I once saw something. Maybe the idea is, since the Goyim were invading Eretz Yisrael, where they don't belong, in his tefillah over there, Shofar points out, I mean, look, Eibishter, you gave us the land. It's not meant for them. So maybe, therefore, they found it necessary to make a Gzeira that the same way, from now on, we should keep people out of an area where they don't belong. Maybe Daraisa is able to go in there, but I mean, there is also, the fact is, the Torah tells us, that, I mean, the Pasuk tells us over there that there was everybody gathered over there. There must have been many people who were Tomei, and all of a sudden, they went and Tovel now, so there's a bunch of Tvula Yom, so they found it necessary, now that we have a large number of Tvula Yom, to make this Gzera. So that's the thing. So they gathered in the Har HaBayis, and they said, from now on, Tvula Yom, fine, will be allowed in most of the Har HaBayis, but they won't be allowed in the Ezras Noshim. Midah Raisa, the Ezras Noshim, has no separate status compared to the rest of the Har HaBayis. Only the Azorah has a special status. Drabbanan, now they made, the Ezras Noshim has a special status that a Tvula Yom can't go in there. So now that they made this Gzera, so we're saying, in other words, so normally a Tvul Yoyim is not allowed to enter the Ezras Noshim, but here, where this Tvul Yoyim is also a Metzorah, who's a Mechusa Kapara, we are going to allow him to go, and we're going to waive this Gzera Dirabanan and allow him to go into the Ezras Noshim in order to be able to bring his Korbanos and stick his ear, thumb, and toe in. So there's a second example where we see that the Chachamim took a Gzera of theirs and waived it in order for a person to bring a Korban Pesach. Beis HaPras, where do we see about a Beis HaPras? To the Tanan. We learn in a Mishnah, Veshavim Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, who disagree about certain dinim of a Beis HaPras, in particular as it affects a Nazir, but both of them agree, Shabodkin L'Oisei Pesach, you're allowed to examine the Beis HaPras and be able to walk through it to be able to make a Korban Pesach, if that's the only way to go. The Ein Bodkin L'Oichle Truma, but you can't do that for the sake of Kohenim who want to go eat Truma, because let them just wait. They can wait and they can get to the Truma in another day or two. They can go the long way around. So therefore, we don't waive it for them. So my Bodkin L'Oisei Pesach. So in what sense are we saying, what do we mean by Bodkin L'Oisei Pesach? How do you check? Now, Tosfos asked the question, what do you mean, how do you check? The Mishnah, right there in Aulos, continues how you check. What you do is you take all the dust over there and you put it in a sieve and you sift it, et cetera, et cetera. So why are we here? Are we saying something different? So in fact, for that reason, Rabbeinu Tam takes out the words my birdkin and says it's a different, the Gemara is now going to tell us a different din. However, Tosfos continues that the Ri says there's two different things. There's a bedikka where you already went through. That's the Mishnah is describing after the fact. Then you should take the dirt and sift it and see if there were any bones in it. Here, we're talking about if you want to be able to pass through, what can you do right now on the spot to be able to pass through? Not necessarily. If he doesn't find any bones, he's not going to become tummy. But we're saying, in other words, according to what the Ri is saying in Tosfos, is that if a person already went through this Beis HaPras, and now we're wondering, well, did he become tummy or not? Now we send somebody with a sieve to start sifting all the dirt. Here we're talking about the person himself wants to go through. How can he go through safely and still be able to bring the Korban Pesach? So Omer of Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, Menapeach Beis HaPras V'Holech. Yeah, what he does is he blows on the dirt as he's going along. So what he does is he maybe he gets on his hands and knees, maybe he uses a long tube, whatever it is. The point is he blows the dirt as he's going along. If there's a large bone over there, he'll see it and know to avoid it. If there's a smaller fragment of bone, then fine, it'll be pushed away when he blows it. And there's no problem even if it's under the dirt and he steps on it, because a small piece of bone is not Matama B'Oihel, only B'Mago V'Masa. Only if he touches or carries it. So therefore, this way he'll be tahor.
If by doing that, going on his floor and he's going over it, then automatically.
No. So what we do is, in other words, so like ahead of time, so like before he sets foot in the space at Pras, he gets on his hands and knees and blows ahead of him, or he uses a tube and blows ahead of him. He blows the dirt right in front of him. Is there any bone over there? If there's a large bone, step around it. If there's a small bone, it gets blown away. Then he takes the next step and repeats the same thing. The next step, each step that he takes, he does the same thing.
That's good for a loose dirt, but if you say that it's deep enough that a machine cannot catch it, that you actually walk right over the kever.
Well, not necessarily, because the kever is only someplace in that 100 amas. So fine, maybe the original spot where the kever was, he has to stay away from. But the rest of the field, the rest of the 100, but the rest of the 100 amas, the rest of the 100 amas, where we're saying is only Tomei de Rabbanan. That area he can blow on and find the So again, for a person to be able to make a Korban Pesach, we're going to allow him to do that. But for a person who wants to go eat Truma, we're not allowing him to do that. Rabbi Yehuda bar Abaye Mishmeid Rabbi Yehuda Amar, another din, Beis HaPras Shenidash Tahor. Also, if a Beis HaPras was trampled, that many people trampled over there, and therefore, if there were any piece of bone, they've been broken up, then therefore it's also tahor. So the same thing you could have, again, the person who's coming to make the Korban Pesach, he can find out, was this field trampled up? And then therefore we'll allow him to go through. When it comes to eating truma, we're not going to give him that heter, because the fact is you can wait. There's no time constraint. So there's the third example where we see that the Chachamim exempted a person from Gzeira D'Rabbanan. Even though Beis HaPras is Tomei D'Rabbanan, we waive that in order for him to be able to bring the Korban Pesach. Hadron Alacha Isha. This next perek is going to talk, the first half of it talks about Pesach Sheni, and the second half of it talks about miscellaneous details where a person has an issue with their Korban Pesach, an issue with the Menuyim or whatever of the Korban Pesach, and what we do about it. The Rebbe once pointed out in a short sicha, by the way, the reason why do we call it Pesach Sheni, which implies when you get down to it, Sheni is more than Rishon. Second is a higher number than first. In what sense is Pesach Sheni higher than Pesach Rishon? And he explains, because Pesach Rishon, we have to have only matzah. We can't have chametz around. So that represents emunah l'mayla mitam v'das, which we gained at Yitzias Mitzrayim. Here we're saying chametz, we're going to say later in the parak that chametz or matzah imur b'bayis, you're allowed to have chametz with you when you have Pesach Sheni. So therefore it represents an individual yid who has the ability to bring tam v'das into his emunah. He went through all of that and now he's able to bring tam v'das into his emunah. So therefore that's a higher thing. He says that's the deeper reason why we call it Pesach Sheni. With that said, there are a few places in Shas where it calls it instead Pesach Cotton or other names like that. Okay. So the Mishnah says, Misha Hoya Tomei, if a person was Tomei, Oy B'derech Rechoika, or he was on a far journey, and we're going to see tomorrow how far is far, V'loy Osa Sirishin, so he didn't make Pesach Rishin, Yase Sasheni, then he makes Pesach Sheni. Also, Shogag Oinenas, also if he didn't bring Pesach Rishin B'Shogig, let's say he forgot that it was Erev Pesach, or Nenas, or there was an Oines, and he couldn't bring it, let's say, for example, he was sick, V'loy Osa Sirishin, and he didn't make Pesach Rishon, also Yaseh Sasheni. He should also make Pesach Sheni. So im kein lama nematoma yeshahoy b'derech chayka. So why does the Torah then single out and mention only these cases of tomei and derech chayka? Now Rashi says the question isn't really about the tomei. The tomei, the chiddush is that even though that we'll say the Torah is telling him not only you can't bring it yourself because you're tomei, you can't even send a shliach to bring it for you. But the question is the derech chayka. Now we're going to have a case that we're going to discuss in the Gemara. What happens if a person was too far to be able to get there in time for the shchita of the Korban Pesach, but he'll be able to reach there by the time of the eating of the Korban Pesach? So then he's able to send. So he may be able to send a shliach on his behalf to bring the Korban Pesach. Yeah, let's say. So he could be already registered on a group, yeah. So in that case, so the question is really why, out of all the possible onsim that exist, does it mention only derech chayka? So the reason is she'elu p'turin mehi kores ve'elu chayavim be'kores, because the ones that we're mentioning in our Mishnah, tome derech chayka, shoygig and onus, are potter from kores ve'elu chayavim be'kores. But then there are other ones that are chayav kores for not bringing the Pesach Rishon. Which other ones do we mean? We're going to discuss in the Gemara. The Rambam actually has a different understanding of it, which is that what we mean is only Tomei and Derech HaChoyka are potter from Kores, meaning if they failed to bring Pesach Sheni, then they're potter from Kores because they were Tomei or Derech HaChoyka on the first Pesach. But the other ones, Onus and Shogig, sure, of course, right now they're potter from Kores because they were Shogig or Onus. But if they then, Bemezid, did not bring Pesach Sheni, then the Rambam learns that our Mishnah is saying they would be Chai of Kores, as opposed to the Derech HaChoyka and the Tomei would be potter even from that. So that the Rambam's Lashon stims better with the Mishnah, but it doesn't seem to work out so well. It's harder to work it out with the Lashon of the Gemara that we're going to see. Okay, so the Gemara starts off, Itmar. Hoya b'derech ha-choyka v'shachta v'zoku olav. What if a person was on derech ha-choyka? He was far away, so he's not going to be able to make it there in time for the Shechita, but that by the time it's time to eat the Korban Pesach, he'll be able to be there. So v'shachta v'zoku olav, if they shechted and sprinkled the Korban Pesach on his behalf, Rav Nachman Amar Hurtza, Rav Sheshes Amar Loy Hurtza. Rav Nachman says, fine, the Korban is acceptable, meaning he's potter from Pesach Sheni. So if he manages to make it there that night, then good, he'll be able to eat Pesach Rishon. If not, if it turns out he got delayed and he can't even make it there in time for that, he's still potter from Pesach Sheni. The Korban was accepted on his behalf. Rav Sheshes says that no, and he's going to have to bring Pesach Sheni. Namely, Rav Nachman Amar Hurtza, because he says, Mechas Udachas Rachman Alav. That what it is the Torah had Rachmanos on a person who's Bederech Rechayka, saying that he's potter from Pesach Rishon. He doesn't have to race to Yerushalayim to be there in time for the Shechita, but the Ovid Tovei Ola Bracha. But if he does do a Korban Pesach, if he arranges with somebody to do the Korban Pesach on his behalf, then good, let a Bracha come on him. It's good. Because he says midcha dachy rachmana katomei, the Torah pushes him off just like the tomei. We don't say, for example, that he can send a shliach to do it on his behalf. The same way with the derech chayka, Rav Sheshes would say the same thing. Tosfos talks about that we could be talking about for, now we had previously the machlokas whether we shecht the Korban Pesach for tomei sheretz. So here we could be talking about, let's say, for example, the tomei of our Mishnah. The Tomei of our Mishnah would be, for example, somebody who it's only his sixth day of Tomei. So he's not yet Tomei that evening anyway. If we were talking about it's on the seventh day, then there's no reason for him to be potter, says Tosfos. He should just be able to go to the mikveh. The fact is, we said once he goes to the mikveh, now not according to the Rambam's shitta, but according to everybody else's shitta, that once the seventh day he gets sprinkled, he tovels, then he can eat the Korban Pesach that night. Then if he fails to tovel, that's his fault. Omer Rav Nachman, Minam Minalah. So Rav Nachman says, where do I get this from that even though he's on a Derech Rechoyka, he's able to send a Shliach to bring the Korban Pesach on his behalf? Ditanan, because we said in the Mishnah, Mishal Yatomei Bederech Rechoyka, Volei Oseh Sirishin. It says, if he was Tomei Bederech Rechoyka and he did not make the first Pesach, Yaseh Sasheni, he should make the second Pesach. Now, Miklal Di Iboy Ovad. Now you're saying, Volei Oseh Sirishin, he didn't make the first, implying he could have made the first. But because he didn't, then therefore we push him off to the second. Implying, therefore, that if he did bring the first, so he had somebody having him in mind, then he's yotze. Rav Sheshes would say, if you're going to understand the Mishnah like that, Sefer de Katoni, what about the Sefer of the Mishnah continues? Shogeg Oinus, also Sirishin Yaseh Sasheni. We said if he's Shogeg Oinus, and didn't make Pesach Rishon, then he makes Pesach Sheni. So again, Midkatoni Veloy also. So what are you going to tell me? It says he didn't make the Korban Pesach. Miklal the Iboy Avad. So that means if he wanted to, he could have. What do you mean? He couldn't have. Had a shogeg man in Nenes. He was shogeg. He was onus. There's no possibility of him having brought the Korban Pesach. Ela mezit katoni badayu. Obviously, therefore, what it must be is together with shogeg and onus, you have to also add in the Mishnah the case of mezid and say, in other words, so a mezid, he could have brought the Korban Pesach, but he didn't. So fine, he brings Pesach Sheni. Hochinami onin katoni badayu. The same way, Rav Shesha says, the list in the first part of the Mishnah, Tome and Derech Hachoika, are not the only ones. We can also add in their onin, and therefore the Veloy also is referring to him. Rav Shesha would say the Tome and the Derech Hachoika, there's no possibility of them making it, but you have to also insert into the Mishnah over there an onin, where he can't bring it himself, but he could send it with somebody else. And as we said before in the previous parak, he will be able to eat it. So therefore, so we have to include that in the Mishnah, and then so the Mishnah is not saying that a shogeg, that the Mishnah is not saying then that a tomei or derech hachoika could bring the Korban Pesach. They can't. On the other hand, an oinin is in the same category, but he could, if he wants, send it with a shliach. Yeah. So he's an exception to the rule, but not tomei and derech hachoika. Amar Ravashi masnisin nami deker. Ravashi says, yeah, you can see that actually from the like Rav Sheshes from the wording of the Mishnah. Which, by the way, Tosfos points out, the difference is then that the onin could be bemazid, but what it is, it's the mazid based on his sadness. He's, in other words, you have a plain mazid who says, I refuse to bring a Korban Pesach, and then you have, for example, the onin, not that I refuse to, but I'm so sad I can't be bothered. He's still considered a mazid, but it's a different kind of mazid. So then we'd say that if he doesn't bring the Korban Pesach, he brings Pesach Sheni, and if he doesn't bring either one, then he's Chayav Karis. It was because of his mourning. Doesn't matter. He still has to pull himself together and get it arranged. Tosfos also mentions, by the way, at the end of the Perek, we're going to make a distinction when his mess died, whether it was before or after Chatzos. If the mess died before Chatzos, then he can't bring the Korban Pesach anyway. All the cases here and previously, we were talking about an onan bringing and eating a Korban Pesach, is talking about where the mess died after Chatzos. So therefore, he was chayiv in Korban Pesach before his relative died. Okay. Amar Rav Ashi, masnisin nami deka. So Rav Ashi says you can also see it from the words of our Mishnah. Dekatani elu pturin mehikaris ve'elu chayavim mehikaris. The Mishnah had said these are potter from Karis and these are chayiv in Karis. So Ahaya, which ones are we saying are chayiv in Karis? Ilema ashogig venenas. Do you mean when they were shogig or onus? What do you mean shogig venenas be Karis? Ninu. Such people are not chayiv Karis. They did it by shogig. They did it by onus. Ela lav amazed ve'onin. Obviously, therefore, the Mishnah must be implying that there are cases that would be chayiv Karis, namely amazed or an onin. So therefore, so you can see from the Mishnah that it is in fact including such cases. But Rab Nachman would say, I agree that mezid has to be inserted into the Mishnah. La'olam amezid l'chodeh. Really, actually, then we're only referring to the mezid. So fine, the second part of the Mishnah, when we say shogeg einenas, also implies mezid. But the first part, we don't have to say implies onin. Or bedinu di boilah l'misni chayev. So by rights, the Mishnah could have said that we could say that chayev refers to him. So why does it say chayov vin? I did Tony Reisha Pturin Tony Sefer Chayovin, because the first part of the Mishnah says Pturin in plural because it's referring to two people, Tommy and Derech Chayka. Therefore, the second part also says Chayovin, even though according to Rav Nachman, there's really only one, namely the person who didn't do it b'mezi. Because again, according to Rav Nachman, the person who was Tomei or Derech Hachoika could bring the Korban Pesach. He could have some, not the Tomei, but the Derech Hachoika could have somebody bring it on his behalf and he would be Yotze. Okay. We'll stop over here. We'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Shkayach, everyone.